I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Old Town, Las Vegas, New Mexico. Come along and join me for an exploration of local art and artists, as well as a legendary antique shop. They're all located on the historic Old Town Plaza, with the iconic Plaza Hotel as the neighborhood anchor. We'll start our visit with Melissa and Andy at Plaza Antiques, where they share tales of how they came to settle in Las Vegas and how their antique shop became a recurring Hollywood film location site, and how Gen Z travelers think they're the first to discover a way cool hidden secret thrifting destination when they step inside. Next up is Rachel Raylan, artist and proprietor of Weave and Gather, situated catty corner from Plaza Antiques. Rachel shares tales of how she and her husband fell in love with Las Vegas and pulled up anchor in Boulder, Colorado to settle here. Of course, Rachel also shares her passion for showcasing an array of art, weavings, rugs, and textiles. We'll then stop in at El Zocalo Cooperative Art Gallery, a collection of local and regional artists showcasing and selling their work. We'll chat with artist and volunteer staffer Meredith Britt. Last but by no means least, we'll stop in at Old Town's legendary Charlie's Spick and Span Cafe for a breakfast visit with local artist and social activist Rocky Ulibarri to learn about his passions, missions, and his renowned mural in the heart of Old Town, the People's History of El Norte.
My name's Melissa Green, and myself and my husband, we own Plaza Antiques, which sits on the Old Town Plaza in the original Las Vegas, New Mexico. We own a three-story adobe building. We've been in business for 28 years. Our store kind of anchors the plaza. We kind of feel like we're the Chamber of Commerce sometimes because we know a lot of the history of Las Vegas, which is rich in history.
Well, your building itself.
Yes, built in 1835. It was originally the Catholic Church on the Old Town Plaza. Bishop Lamy owned it at the time. As the railroad came into town, Las Vegas became a boom town. A lot of German merchants settled here. Bishop Lamy sold the building to Dolden Felt Wesch.
Because he wanted a bigger church?
He moved his church up the street. You can almost see it from our building. Then this building was expanded, became a mercantile, one of, maybe 10 or 11 mercantiles. This sat at the end of the Santa Fe Trail. People are finding out about Las Vegas. It's not only beautiful because it's in northeast New Mexico, at the base of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. It's not desert New Mexico, it's mountainous. And so it's a real draw for its beauty and history.
Talk to us about how you got here.
Well, I'm going to hand the mic over to my husband, and he's going to talk.
Hi, my name is Andy Kingsbury. I've owned the Dold Wesch building for 28 years, purchased it in 1995. Spent about a year and a half doing renovation on the building with sometimes as many as 25 people a day in here. But it took a long time. This is an adobe building with 3-foot-thick adobe walls. They call it double adobes. So I was an advertising photographer in Minneapolis, and just when digital started coming in, I was a special effects photographer, and I could see the end of my business possibly. So my wife, ex-wife now, but wife was just hot to trot and do something different, and I was game to join her. So we kind of looked around, went to Santa Fe, realized that that was probably too expensive for what we wanted, and found this place 60 miles outside of Santa Fe, where we heard people were going to start coming to when Santa Fe got too expensive or too crowded. So we toured around on a Sunday in Las Vegas, found a place, talked to a realtor, just introducing ourselves, didn't know we had any interest, but then got back to Minnesota and discovered that was a pretty neat place. So then we started correspondence. She had this building kind of tucked away. Kind of interestingly, an elderly Hispanic gentleman owned it, and he just said, "Don't tell anybody about this building because I've got all these local friends that want the building, but unfortunately they can't afford it." So she had kept the secret. She showed it to us. We flew down, toured through it, and thought it would work for us. It's actually a 16,000 square foot building.
Wow.
With 3 floors of 5,000 square feet per floor. Basically no electricity in the majority of the building, as if it was an auto car parts place where semi-trucks would pull up on the plaza to buy parts. We figured out that we could make this building work. We didn't know how we were going to make it work, but we knew we wanted to live here, and we didn't know what kind of business we would even open here. So after touring Las Vegas quite a bit, we just decided that an antique store would be pretty perfect.
And it worked out.
Yeah, it's worked out. Yeah, we've, as I said, had an open store for 28 years. It's been good.
So what Andy and Lynn did to this property was bring it back to what it looked like in the late 1800s. Mm. So it was a real service to the community because the building, it needed to return to its former glory. Mm-hmm. Also, this town has over 900 buildings on the National Historic Register. Because when the railroad came in, the architecture changed. On the west side of the river, it was mostly adobe, and on the east side, all of a sudden, there's three-story brick mansions. So with the architecture really varying and just the beauty of the surrounds, I mean, Tom Mix was here in the 1920s. Yeah, he had his office in the Plaza Hotel.
Really?
Yeah.
So Hollywood found
Real early. Las Vegas was the only town in the state where movies were being made, where movies started in mm-hmm. New Mexico. Romaine Fielding. There's a ghost sign on the south side of the Plaza Hotel that you can barely see, but he was also a movie producer, director, made some films here. So to get current, if you know the movie No Country for Old Men, the bulk of that was filmed here in Las Vegas.
But you had on-location filming in your building, right?
Yes, we did. If you've ever heard of the series Longmire, which is quite popular, the pilot was filmed in our store. There was over 100 people inside the store getting ready for this shot.
Wow.
And so Andy and I recently looked back at that. It was just a kick to see what the store looked like, 6 or 7, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. But that was a fun group, and all the stars were really great. And we currently have another production called Ransom Canyon that's being filmed here. Outer Range is being filmed here. All the Pretty Horses was filmed here. Just so many movies. So in No Country Put, part of the film is the heroine of the movie, he's going to Mexico. He's been injured, and he's going over an overpass, and the overpass says, "Welcome to Mexico." And so they kept that up for, this was a long shoot, that movie, and people would be coming down the 25 going, "Wait a second here, where am I going?" And then they did that again for Due Date, another movie with, I can't remember the name of the actor, but it's funny that overpass has been used as Mexico
a lot. That's on
the
interstate?
On the interstate, yeah. Wow. Yeah, our middle entrance to Las Vegas. So, movies, it's just always fun. Well, they'll light up the whole plaza with those big boom lights, and we love having them here.
That's really cool.
We really do.
In fact, I just want to insert, when they were filming No Country for Old Men, they also were filming two other movies at the same time. One was City Slickers or Wild Hogs, and then the other one was Astronaut Farmer. So three Hollywood movies concurrently shooting at the same week in Las Vegas. So it makes it fun.
Wild Hogs, they also were in that other small town nearby.
Madrid, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Madrid gets a lot of movies through there, too. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to watch them shoot and, walk down the street and they're really nice to the locals. As long as you're not in the shot, they'll let you get really close and watch a scene being filmed. Yeah, it's always a kick.
Okay, back to your world, surviving here and thriving. Talk to us about who comes here and why and how you're trying to propel just the awareness, because you're literally in the shadow of Santa Fe. Can't tell you the number of people that ask me where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's a double take every time.
Exactly. I'll be on the telephone and I'll give out the name of the town. I'll go, it's not Nevada, it's New Mexico. And it's just slowly but surely being found out. People come down the 25. We have a really good friend, a librarian, who's going to see his brother in Palm Springs, and he saw the Casanata Hotel, which is a Fred Harvey Railroad Hotel.
Yeah.
And he came into town, and when people get off the interstate, they see these older buildings that are well preserved. They find the Old Town District, and we are a destination antique shop. I mean, when you're coming up the 25 or down the 25 from Colorado, because we've been here a long time.
Well, what a double duty, too, because it's destination antique shops housed in architectural specimen, array of different time periods architecturally.
And so Andy and I are constantly telling the history of town and sending them out to Montezuma, to the Fred Harvey Hotel out there as well. Now it's the United World College. There's hot springs there. So as I said, we kind of feel like a chamber of commerce, mm-hmm. because people ask us, well, what can we do here? And so besides shopping, and there's four other antique shops in town, that makes it a destination. The history makes it a destination. It's a good halfway spot if you're coming down from Denver and you're headed down to Arizona, mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Also, the railroad is a big draw to town.
I was originally planning to take Amtrak from Los Angeles to your town. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's a 24-hour train ride. I'm sure a lot of stops. We haven't done it, but a lot of people do.
Yeah, my son took that trip with his partner from Los Angeles, and they just absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son-in-law is an A-type personality, but he got off that train going, I'd do that again. They really had a great time. So that's it for train buffs, and mm-hmm. they stop in, Lamy, so stop, but also in Arizona, the other Fred Harvey Hotel that was restored, Winslow, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fun thing to do.
Do you ever have historic trains come through? Steam engine?
Well, they're starting to, yes. They're beginning tests of the tracks on one of them. And just now they really need to find a place nearer to turn it around. They've got to go about 40 miles past Las Vegas.
Well, you guys have a roundhouse.
Yeah. We do
That's
have a roundhouse.
That's really cool.
The roundhouse is cool. And at one time when we first moved here, there was a Great American Foundation that was out of that area. But trying to get the roundhouse in use for people that don't fly, movie stars Whoopi Goldberg and others like her, to be able to keep their train cars in our roundhouse.
Wow, cool.
They are restoring another steam engine now that they are going to, well, they've done one in Albuquerque that now runs, and that's the one that came up here on the track. But they're also, we've got one that's been parked here since the 1950s that they're going to start restoration on.
Oh, cool.
You know, a neat steam engine. I mean, it's an interesting history. We'll get people train buffs, and they kind of explain about how the water stopped work. I mean, how they have to stop every hour mm-hmm. to fill up with water.
Before we go,
yes.
Just curious about how you guys source your antiques to sell. And do some of them just come to you?
Oh, do they ever. And a few buttes have stayed in our home. There's such a rich history, and these homes are older. We have chandeliers in our home that came out of older homes here, older mansions here. People move in, they don't care, they're younger, they don't like that type, and so we're a real go-to. A car will pull up, and when you just see all the stuff in back, you know why they're here. And so, yeah, we have a great time, the three of us in the shop, Andy and Sandra and myself, just, we're pickers, you know, and there's good flea markets around, so a lot of it is locally sourced,
so
a whole
cool.
lot of it, yeah.
So, provenance of New Mexico, Anna, or whatever, this would be a great go-to place.
You know, it's so interesting when you see youngsters here, you know, 20s and whatnot, they'll be on their phone saying, hey, guess what? I just found the coolest place ever. And you guys got to come down here, as though they discovered it. But it's just humorous to me sitting here, but they're just kind of out whispering in their phone talking to somebody. It is great. We've got a younger crowd moving in now and starting restaurants here. There's just a lot of new ownership. You know, a lot of us, I'm in my 70s now. A lot of us are kind of getting ready to pull the plug and find someone else to take over our businesses and keep it youthful and active. And it's a lot of stuff to do here.
What a tempting place for somebody that would want to restore an architectural gem.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, they were cheaper years and years ago, mm-hmm. but they're still just gorgeous houses.
But relatively, they're still affordable.
We laughingly say if someone moves here from California, they buy two houses and then kind of decide which one they want to live in and flip the other. But yeah, it's great.
To learn more about your world,
we are plazaantiquesnm.com. So the NM is for New Mexico. Mm-hmm. You also can find us on Instagram and Facebook. And my name is Melissa Green. And
Andy Kingsbury.
And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from real Las Vegas in New Mexico. We'll see you here. Rachel, where are we?
We're sitting here in our shop, Weave and Gather, in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
And how did this happen?
Well, it's quite a story. We were living in Boulder, Colorado, my husband and I, driving down to Santa Fe, saw the sign for Las Vegas, New Mexico on the highway, and I said, stop, pull over.
But you didn't know what it was, right?
I actually did.
You did? Okay, so you'd heard myth, legend, and rumors.
Yeah, I have a history with New Mexico, but my husband didn't, and so he had no idea why I was telling him to stop. And he tried to ask me why, and I said, just do it. And so he pulled over, and I had remembered an old friend had moved here. And I saw that she was fixing up an old house on Facebook. So I was curious and wondered if I could get a hold of her. I didn't have her phone number anymore, so I just looked her up on Facebook, messaged her, and surprisingly, she picked up. So then the next thing I knew, we were at their house, just a few blocks away from here where we're sitting, like an old homestead, an old stone house from 1870.
Nice.
And a casita, and there was some beautiful property with an acequia water stream running behind the house and gardens. And we walked in the house, and my jaw dropped. Just really beautiful old place, and they were artists, they were fixing it up. And I had this sort of out-of-body experience where I had a feeling it was my home, but I didn't want to say anything. I felt really embarrassed to even think that, so I didn't. And we had a nice visit, went on our way to Santa Fe. Then about a week later, I called her and said, you know, we really loved your house, wondered if you ever decide you want to sell it, would you let us know first? And then they turned around and sold it to us.
Oh, wow. So a random, you're on your way somewhere else.
Yes.
Changes your life.
Completely.
Yeah.
I did know about Las Vegas because I used to live in Santa Fe before I moved up to Colorado. That was a long time ago, and it was nothing that was on my mind. It was kind of the perfect dream place for us.
Mm-hmm. So there really is a renaissance rebirth been going on even ever since you got here, right?
Yeah, we've met people in town and heard their stories, and it seems to be, especially we moved during COVID, and there seemed to be a lot of other people that uprooted and decided to make a big change. And that had something to do with our decision as well, because we were in the city, we were cooped up, not enjoying things. So to find a place that had a lot of nature and a nice small community, and also just very artistic, creative, and affordable. It just sort of sold itself.
That's so cool. So a lot's been continuing post-COVID. That whole momentum is still going on, right?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of places, like where we came from, got very expensive. And also a lot of the charm disappeared. For me anyway, Boulder felt that way. I'd been living there 16 years. And we did have a shop in North Boulder, which was kind of a new arts district. And we had no plans to leave when we drove through here. But once we did, we spent about a year just fixing up this old house and also a casita. And then we saw this empty storefront. And there are many empty storefronts, as you've probably noticed in Las Vegas. It was another spontaneous decision. We didn't know who the landlords were, why it was sitting empty for a year. And we found out the landlords were a French couple that lived in southern France and came around maybe a couple times a year. Reached out to them, and they decided to let us rent it. And so we've been here ever since.
How cool. When you decided to do a retail shop, was it similar to what you did in Boulder? Or was it a kind of new iteration?
So I was actually an art teacher for most of my life, my adult life. And I did work in Santa Fe before as an educator at the Folk Art Museum. And I'm a weaver.
So you're a textile person.
Yeah, I'm a textile lover. And I also am a painter and an anthropologist, degrees in all those things. When I was in Boulder, I was a teacher, but I went to Morocco on sabbatical from teaching. The school I taught at for a long time sent me there. Came back and transitioned into becoming a Moroccan rug dealer.
Wow.
I had really just a new business in Boulder when we moved here. Mm-hmm. We had been doing it for a couple of years. So this is a New Mexico version of our store because everything in here is handmade and as much local art as we can find and other local businesses that we curate. And in Boulder, we did that with people we knew there. But here we've been traveling around to farmers markets, finding local people who make things that we love.
Do you have an online store too?
Yes.
So somebody doesn't physically have to come here to see what you have.
Yeah, we do. We have a website. I do a lot of social media just because I thought when we first moved here, that's what I would have to do to make any sales. I didn't know if anybody would drive here. And now, actually, I've been doing less and less of that because we do get quite a bit of traffic.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we're right on the old plaza, right by the Plaza Hotel. And it's amazing how many different kinds of people pass through this town.
So people might be staying at the plaza, and they go for a stroll, and they just stumble on you, right?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's quite international because there's the World College here. So there'll be teachers and parents from the World College and students from all over the world. And then a lot of people in the summer escaping the heat from Texas.
Anything you want to add that you haven't shared?
Well, my husband's part of this. His name's Jim. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have a very flexible husband because he really had no connection to New Mexico. And when I fell in love with this house and said, do you want to move? He decided, why not? So that was amazing. And he's been able to really do a lot with his artwork as well. And
so he's an artist.
We're both artists. We have some of our work in the shop. He has his photographs, a lot of black and whites, old silver gelatin prints that he's been doing forever. We get a chance to showcase our work, and we have an art studio in the back. Also, just it's been amazing, you know, aside from having a business, just being part of a community, a small community of creative people and very interesting, eclectic people.
How cool. To learn more about your world, where would you take us?
I actually use Instagram quite a bit because I like to take photographs and I'm very visual. So I'm always posting photos of what happens daily. And that's at Weave and Gather, spelled out. We also have a casita on Airbnb, which is connected to that. And then our website is weaveandgather.com. And my name is Rachel Rellin Haswell.
Awesome. Rachel, thank you so much. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Las Vegas, New Mexico. We'll see you here.
We're at El Zocalo Cooperative Art Gallery in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Right in the town square, huh?
At the Old Town Plaza, most beautiful historic plaza in New Mexico.
Dates way back in time, huh?
Early 1800s, 1820, 1830.
And your shop here, right in the heart of Old Town, the building itself is really old, huh?
This building is probably 140. It was a general store. It's had many incarnations. It's been beautifully restored by the current owners, our wonderful landlords.
When did you come in?
Our gallery has been in existence for over 14 years, 14 and a half. We've been here in this building, 1809 Plaza, since 2014.
And what do you try and focus on? Local artists as much as you can?
We're here to give local artists a place to show and sell their work, and whether they're professional or have never shown before, it all depends on, you know, our mission statement and their work and their desire to be part of a co-op.
Do you ever do meet the artist receptions here?
We do that quite often. We're going to have a reception in a week and a half for one of our artists, Louise LaPlante.
And how did you get into the world of having a retail art outlet?
Well, I always thought it would be a great idea. Someone else actually sat down and put this idea together, and she's no longer a member, but I wish she was because she had great vision. I was asked if I wanted to be part of it, and of course.
Would you say that majority of your clientele are local, regional?
Most of our clientele are tourists. Las Vegas is their destination, or they're traveling through, or they're visiting from nearby cities. Santa Fe, we get a lot of people from Santa Fe and Albuquerque. I've even heard people say, we come here to go to El Zocalo.
That's really cool. So the word's definitely gotten around that Santa Fe destination for art seekers to also come here.
Santa Fe, I call it the Paris of the Southwest, and it is definitely wonderful to live near it, and that was part of my intention of moving here. When people come in here and they say, oh, can't spend my money, I'm on my way to Santa Fe, we say, well, add a zero to any price tag on anything you like.
In Santa Fe.
In Santa Fe, add a zero.
And how about a moment on you? Back in your life, are you an artist? Is that your passion?
Well, I would say it is, and writing has been, but I've been more focused on art lately. I was that kid in grade school that the teacher would say, look at Meredith's work, you should do it like Meredith, which was embarrassing, but I didn't mind.
So it's always been a part of who you are.
It has. My mother saved a lot of my kindergarten art.
That's cool. And how often do you come into the shop here? Are you the manager?
No, I'm one of the members. We're all equal, and we take turns gallery sitting here. We gallery sit about 3 or 4 days a month.
Well, not bad.
Leaves you a lot of time to make your art, which is one of the incredible benefits.
So that's what you do when you leave the work here.
That and community organizing, like having you here today.
To learn more about the gallery, do you guys have a website?
We do have a website. It's elzocalo.com. You could just type in El Zocalo and you'll find us, or you might find a restaurant in southern New Mexico or a village square in Mexico.
That's funny. And you're right in the old historic neighborhood, right off the town square.
It's a great location. People come out of the historic hotel across the street. I've been told by some psychologists that people tend to go right. So when you look to the right, there we are.
That's really cool.
My name is Meredith Britt.
Meredith, thank you so much. This has been great. And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Las Vegas, the real one. We'll see you here.
My name is Rock Ulibarri. I live in El Puerto of New Mexico, northern New Mexico, by the San Cristo Mountains, just at the foot of Hermit's Peak.
Right now, we're in a local hotspot.
Yeah, Charlie's Bakery or the Spick and Span. It's got a few names. It's a pretty popular joint.
Almost mandatory gathering spot in the morning for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right in the heart of downtown.
Yeah, there's two downtowns, so this is the heart of one of the downtowns.
Parallel town.
Yeah, we're in East Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. But again, in the 70s, the two towns came together, right?
Right.
So even though culturally or geographically they're different, separated by a little river.
Yeah, but most people would call it a creek. Yeah.
I know, I was trying to be nice.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was all due to Mama Lucy, who had a restaurant at the Plaza Hotel on the west side, the best food in Las Vegas. Politicians from the east side would go eat there also for that food, and the politicians from the west side would be there, and they came together and finally started talking and got this place to be one municipality again.
That became the real city hall.
Right.
Are you born and raised here?
Actually, I was born in Las Cruces. Mm-hmm. My dad was born here, but I was raised here. The moment school ended for me, I'd come up to the ranch, and I'd stay here until the day before school started.
Mm-hmm.
So I was raised in Las Cruces during the school year and up in the mountains here during the summers.
Not bad, huh?
Oh, no, I loved it.
Yeah.
I didn't know Las Vegas that well growing up because I never came to town.
Right, right.
And just got put to work up there, you know, fixing the fence and messing with the horses and the livestock. And
so when you got out of high school, what did you do? You went to college straight away?
Actually, I went to high school in Kissimmee, Florida, Osceola High School, 1982 graduate. And I moved down to Fort Lauderdale and went to art school there, Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale. I became a commercial artist in El Paso, Texas for a while, and then I ended up moving to Seoul, South Korea.
Wow.
I worked at the United Nations compound there for a couple of years.
Doing what?
Running their sports activity director, uh-huh. Community Family Soldier, setting up basketball games and football tournaments and baseball tournaments for the soldiers, you know. They called the Community Family Soldier there when I was there.
Cool.
It was on the 8th Army Base in Yongsan. I had a good time.
But then you got the wanderlust to travel again?
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of traveling. Spent a lot of time in the Philippines, all over Mexico and Central America.
But here you are in the real Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Oh, I always knew I was going to come back home. I just came home sooner than I expected. My grandmother had passed away, and everyone else was gone, you know, with their careers and their lives and had their homes. And so I decided to come back to the ranch, and I've been living here ever since. I've been back about 20 years now.
Well, the locals wanted me to talk to you, and they were raving about how you harnessed the local kids and did a mural right in the heart of downtown.
Yes.
Talk to us about that project.
Okay. So an organization, a nonprofit called Casa de Cultura, which is the director is Miguel Angel. He's also a former educator. He taught at Berkeley and Laney College in California, came back home when he retired. They do a lot of cultural stuff. So we were talking about Howard Zinn and how he apologizes in his People's History of the United States that he doesn't know enough about resistance movements of the Southwest like he does, you know, in the East. So we took that as a challenge. We do not have the power to publish, you know, a traditional text. So what we do is we paint our stories. We illustrate our history through murals. We had a forum that we went all over San Miguel County and asked people what they thought, what stories needed to be told, and what were important to them, things that are missing in the history books. And we did a survey. We're 350 people. So everything on there is like community-driven, their idea of what they wanted to be on the mural.
Give us an example of some of the most popular ones you're most proud of.
The one I'm most proud of, actually, is the very last mural. I'm proud and I'm actually related to a lot of these movements that were my great uncles and stuff, and I'm very proud of these other resistance movements that happened at the turn of the century. However, the last panel was a contemporary panel. There's like four or five illustrations there that weren't resolved by the time we finished the mural.
They were a work in progress.
Each one of those issues was resolved in our favor later, you know, a year or two later. You know, the Supreme Court ruled that they had to give us our White Peaks land back and reverse the land transfer that our land commissioner had done. 1199 was finally recognized by the hospital, but the Supreme Court ordered the hospital to recognize it at 1199. It's a nurses union that they voted for a union, and the hospital refused to recognize them, and all these court battles and stuff. There's a number of grassroots movements that are on that panel that were not resolved. Show it to you guys later, you know, I'll go through them.
It's interesting because you're chronicling current history and also ancient history.
Yeah, and it begins, of course, with the Pecos Pueblo. It was called the Rendezvous. That's where all the tribes, whether it was Apache, Ajiquería, or the Pueblos, would come together under a flag of peace and trade every year. So that's where the mural begins. And then, of course, you know, when the Spanish arrived, everything changed.
So how do you make logical, ordered sense of it for the visitor? Interpret and understand. Do you have a website or brochures, or how is that story translated?
It should be up there by the mural. I don't know why the city hasn't done it yet, but the city did create a YouTube video with me narrating each panel, each illustration, and what it means.
So you explain the backstory.
So you can go to YouTube and go to People's History of El Norte, panel one, panel two, panel three, and I'm narrating what the illustrations actually mean.
Some towns have, they organize tours.
Yes.
Do you do that?
I've done it once for Michael. He organized something, and then actually, that's when the fire started. So I had already evacuated. I was in town with all my sheep and goats and horses and dogs, and we rode up to the mural on horseback. We just went everywhere on horseback during that evacuation period. And I did one tour for Michael. It wasn't as big as it was supposed to be because of the havoc of the fire that happened, you know, a lot of stuff getting canceled. That's the last one I did.
Only because we have to move on. We're going to say goodbye, but before we go to learn more about your world, where would you recommend we go to find out about you? Do you have a website?
I do not have a website. I have a website for this grassroots economic development stuff I'm doing up in the mountain for, it's a cultural tourism. It's called Gallinas Tours. But most of my work I do volunteer for Echo, for public lands, traditional use.
One moment about Echo. Explain Echo.
So Echo stands for Hispanics Enjoying Hunting, Camping, and the Outdoors. What we mainly do is a lot of policy work at the national level and at the state level, and sometimes at the community level. For instance, the methane rule that we got passed through during the Obama administration, and then it was stalled during the Trump administration, and now it's moving forward again.
Did you found Echo?
No, I did not, but I was their first chairman. And we've grown from just the advisory board and a director to a nationwide thing. We have an office in D.C. We have field coordinators in New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, Utah. We've got a fantastic board and a huge staff. And we have a huge footprint in Washington, D.C. We're affiliated with the National Wildlife Federation. You can go to that website and see what we've done. It's amazing what we've been able to do in these short 8 years that I've been there.
Google search Echo.
Absolutely, yeah. Go to the website. See all the great public lands work that we've been doing. And I am Rocco Ulibarri, Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Love it. Thank you so much.
You bet.
That's great. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Las Vegas, New Mexico. The real one.
the original Las Vegas.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.